Unit 38, that's a 2-1, that's half 36. Copy, that's 1-4, show us on route, ETA 2 minutes.
Welcome to Running Code, the podcast where you, the viewer or the listener, get to learn a little bit more about us, the men and women of the Newport News, Virginia Police Department. Hello, Melissa. Good to see you.
Or the listener. I like that. I like that. We got to be all inclusive.
Listen, we're everywhere.
That's right. We are.
We do it all, my friend. So how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you kindly. We have a guest today that I find interesting, especially kind of looking at his bio, if you will. We did a little homework on him.
A little bit.
I think it's going to be interesting.
A little bit. This is actually going to be fun because we work together on a regular basis.
Ah, so very
already,
good.
Already he's one of my favorite
All
guests.
All right, sounds good. Well, I'm going to turn it over to you then.
All right. Well, Officer Fareed, you want to introduce yourself to everybody, let them know who you are?
Well, of course, Lieutenant Morgan. Melissa. My name's Jeff Fareed. I've been with the department for a little bit over 8 years now. Before that, I've worked private security for about 8 years in the Newport News, Hampton Roads area, Norfolk, all over the place. I really enjoy working with Newport News. It's a great team, great leadership, and really awesome opportunities to really make an improvement in the community.
Now, you two work together
now? I was going to say, we're not going to sidestep that comment he made about great leadership. I just wanted to point that out.
Humbly speaking,
that
of
was
course.
Not solicited. No, that was all by himself. No, yes, we work together now. He's one of my favorite midnight shift officers.
Wow.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So y'all work together. You're a team.
It definitely takes a specific type of person to work midnight shift. How's that going?
Well, very pale. But it's wonderful.
How many years have you been working mids?
Aside from 1 year where I worked on Watch 2 South, I've been on midnight shift pretty much my entire time here with the department. And even before that, when I worked private security, I worked on midnight shift. I just like the way midnight grooves. It's very, like she said, a very specific type of person's got to work midnight shift. You got to be able to do more with less. You got to be able to, you know, cover all the gaps and be visible without wearing yourself out and, you know, getting caught in that trap.
Right. So can we back up just a tad bit? And where are you from originally?
So I'm from the Hampton Roads area. Originally born and raised in Portsmouth. I went to high school in Virginia Beach. And then I went to college in Norfolk and then started doing private security, traveling all over the Hampton Roads area. Came up here to work in the shipyard. It was kind of a long drive from Virginia Beach to Newport News. So I ended up buying a house up here and just set up roots. And when it was time for me to leave the shipyard, I was like, I need to go work for the police department because this is where I want to be.
Yeah, now correct me if I'm wrong, but did you and I meet before you became a police officer?
Absolutely, yeah. You remember that.
Sure did. Of course I remember that. Yeah. That was a good experience for me. I hope it was for you.
It was great, yeah. I mean, if I remember correctly, you were a midnight shift lieutenant.
You are correct.
And you ran into me while I was doing my
regular patrols.
30 plus patrol checks a night. And you reached out to me and you're like, hey, you know, what kind of contracts are you working? What neighborhoods are you in? And and we kind of established that bond.
We did.
And then I also ran into your brother on a couple of assignments
too.
Who's
retired now. Yeah.
Retired, yeah. So there, it kind of gave me that sense of legitimacy and like feeling that there's support for what I was doing. And I wanted to roll that support back.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because you were a security officer and you were obviously various locations and that I would see you periodically. I think we exchanged phone numbers and we even talked. I even probably tried to convince you to join the police department, probably. Let's call it what it is, right? And eventually you did join the police department. But you also worked at the shipyard at some point. What were you doing there?
So I was working nuclear security with some of our retirees like Trent Sturgis and Chris Cook, a few others, yeah. So I worked on the reactors. I was on aircraft carriers and submarines. I was on a rapid response team, worked patrol. And it's kind of weird that the shipyards, when I was in the shipyard, we were sworn as special conservators of the peace. So we had law enforcement powers in the shipyard, but our rule was there is no crime in the shipyard. We wouldn't let that happen. That's but right. There were a lot of violations of company policy that we would handle. And there were incidents that we would respond to. And yeah, it was a really interesting work environment. Got to go a lot of places that people don't normally get to go on ships.
Wow. So you actually saw the ships when they were first being built?
Oh, I would have them built around me. I would come into the MOF, the Modular Outfitting Facility, and I'd set up shop outside of a reactor control room. And by the end of my shift, they had welded the whole forward habitation section on, and then they were rolling in the back section, and they were putting that last weld in there, and the whole ship was just there.
That is
absolutely
incredible.
You. Wow.
And we learned from doing a little homework that you attended a high school that specifically focused on criminal justice. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So it was the First Colonial High School Legal Studies Academy as part of the Virginia Beach Public Schools Academy programs. So the Legal Studies Academy is kind of like a school within a school. Every year they take in 100 rising freshmen. And you're kind of part of like this little like group within the school where all your courses are focused on whatever the subject matter for the academy is. So I went to the Legal Academy, history, English, history, English, science, all those core classes had a legal twist to them. So for environmental science, we studied a little bit about wetlands conservation law. We learned a little bit about zoning and things that affect the environment. In English class, we would read works of literature and we would do like pro-con debate or we'd do like a mock trial. In history, we would study like the evolution of legal systems going all the way back to ancient Mesopotamia with the Code of Hammurabi.
That is fascinating.
All the way forward. And then there were electives as well. So I took a year of forensic science. I took criminology, criminal psychology, some street law courses. And then the very end of my time there, I had to do a capstone research project. So I specialized, since I shoot competitively, or I did back then, I specialized in forensic ballistics. So that was my research project as a senior in high school.
Wow. Melissa, I could barely get up in the morning to show up.
Listen, he said capstone. I literally ran from that in college.
Yeah, we did that in college. Master's
I ran
degree.
From it. I didn't do it. I ran from it.
Yeah, we had to do that. That is incredible. Wow, that is unbelievable.
It sounds kind of, I don't know how in-depth our schools get with it. I know we have the criminal justice over at New Horizons, which I think you participate in as well as an officer, but you go over there and kind of help out and hang out with the kids while they're doing that. But it starts early.
Absolutely.
Clearly, it starts early.
Yeah, so you had a fascination with law enforcement from a young age? Or?
Well, it kind of moved into a fascination towards law enforcement. Originally, I was looking at the military as a career option. And, 9/11 and the USS Cole bombing, they were fresh in my mind at that age. And so I was like, okay, I want to go catch the bad guys. Like, that. I want to keep our country safe. I want to keep our community safe. I want to go catch the bad guys. Who catches bad guys? Cops. So that's where that interest in legal studies started in forensic science, is being able to learn the legal system and learn more about criminals and how they operate, so that way I can kind of work myself into that environment. And over the years, the military option just wasn't for me. I'd call the recruiters several times and they'd be like, "Yeah, okay, here's a questionnaire, we'll call you when you're ready," and I'd never get a call back. It's Norfolk, Virginia. Everybody and their brother's trying to get in the military. Yeah. So I was just like, okay, well, I'll look at other options. I ended up going to the shipyard. I was still bugging the recruiters. I was looking at the Coast Guard, still bugging the recruiters. And I was like, okay, I got to make a change because I can't just sit here in this reactor for the next 25 to 30 years. I got to go out there and do something. So I put in for the police department.
And so you joined the police department directly coming from the shipyard?
Mm-hmm.
And how long of a break did you have in between?
A day. Literally a day. I clocked out
we
on...
We are good at timing, aren't we?
December 31st of 2016, and I reported for work onboarding here January 1st.
Wow.
Or January 2nd.
Listen, that recruiting office...
They're amazing.
They are right on it.
Yeah, and one of the things, Melissa, and you'll attest to this, that we hear often from folks that we hire is how well-treated...
Supported. They are very supportive. That onboarding process is amazing. It seems like it's amazing.
Yeah, it's changed.
They seem to have gotten it.
It's always been good, but it's changed dramatically over the years. It's really it's done incredibly well, and it has to do a lot with the leadership, and especially the recruiters and the background investigators that are in there.
Yeah.
I mean, they work very hard, and you'll attest to that as well.
No, absolutely.
They work very hard.
They work hard. So I feel like you skipped something. You did a program with the Navy? You did a program with the Navy, didn't you?
Like I said, I was kind of going towards that military career track.
Uh-huh.
About 11 years old, my dad came into my room one night and he was like, "Hey, look, when I was in the Navy and I was going through boot camp, there's this one guy in my class who just knew everything. And we felt comfortable with him leading because he knew the ins and outs. He knew all the ropes." And he said, and he was part of this program. And I looked it up. It's called the U.S. Naval Sea Cadet Corps. And there's a unit here at Norfolk, Virginia. If you're interested, let me know. I was like, of course. I mean, I'm, you know, 11 years old. Like, yeah. I want to be like dad. You know, I want to be, you know, we're in the, all that. So he took me down to the Navy base. I did a weekend in doc. I got enrolled in the program in March of 2000. And that was like my new thing. The way the unit was set up was, it was kind of like the military reserves for teenagers. So you did 1 weekend a month of, you know, training, where we'd do our drill weekend at the Navy base. We'd wear military uniforms, we'd march in formation, we'd do PT, and then we would do advanced, like, coursework. Like, everything the active duty Navy would do for advancement as far as, like, general knowledge stuff was stuff that was, like, drilled into our heads at 11, 12, 13 years old. It gave me a lot of opportunities to get out and see different aspects of the military and different career fields. I got to go on just about every type of ship that there was out there. And then in the summertime, you had to do 2 weeks of training in order to advance and stay enrolled in the program. So the first year, I had to go to boot camp. I actually hopped on a C-9 SkyTrain and flew. Originally, it was supposed to be from Norfolk to Fort Dix, New Jersey. But somebody kind of borrowed our plane, and so we kind of got bumped. If you've ever flown space available on aircraft, you get bumped. Mm-hmm. So I ended up flying from there to, like, Wisconsin, then down to Fort Benning, picked up a bunch of Army Airborne guys, flew from Fort Benning back up to New Jersey. So it's like a short trip from Norfolk to New Jersey turned into this whole cross-country voyage. Yeah. But I get up there, I do my 2 weeks of boot camp. I don't remember most of it. I do remember a lot of, like, yelling and shouting and military drill and stuff like that. But that was, like, my first year. And after that, I did 2 weeks of aviation maintenance training. Out of AIMD Norfolk, so learned a little bit about the F-14 Tomcats and all the stuff that goes into repairing and replacing and fixing those.
Wow,
he's doing this as a kid. That is so cool. That's why I bought it, because I thought it was really cool. That's awesome.
So from there, it was 2 weeks of recruiter duty at the Naval Station, at the JANF recruiting station, Advanced Leadership Academy, and then I did an international exchange tour here locally, where we brought in kids from other programs that were like my organization, from like Singapore, Great Britain, Sweden, Canada, all across Canada. Just kind of showed them what the American military is like, what our Navy is, and just kind of the Hampton Roads area.
As a kid.
Yeah. That's incredible.
It still blows my mind.
And
I love it.
I have to tell you something. We share something then. As a young man of probably 10 or 11 years old, I too was in the Sea Cadets.
What?
My father, U.S. Army, put me in the Navy Sea Cadets. Me and my brother both. He actually had the wooden rifle the whole nine yards. Yeah. Oh, man. Now, I will tell you, I didn't go to no two-week camp. I assure you that. But every, like, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I showed up for drill and all that. But it was a great experience and kind of taught me self-discipline at a very early age. Now, imagine you carried that throughout your years, the discipline that you learned during that time.
Yeah, it's very hard to unlearn, especially when you learn at such an early, early age.
Oh, yeah. I guess it's embedded in your being, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
you can see it in his work.
Really?
I 100% attest to it. You can see it in his work.
Paid off for you. How about
absolutely,
that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And now, are you also field training other officers?
Does he?
You do. So do you carry that discipline into your training, meaning you have high expectations of your partners? We call them partners, but for those out there, it's the person they're training, their trainees. You imagine you have high expectations of them also being self-disciplined, on time, and all those things, yeah?
Absolutely. I set the example. I show them, like, hey, this is how we do it. This is how we as an organization do it. This is our culture, and this is our values. And I expect them to carry that forward and, you know, rate them daily on how they're performing. Training is something that has always been at the forefront of my childhood and my adult life. You know, from being 12, 13 years old with a petty officer crow on my shoulder and being told, hey, you need to teach a whole bunch of 11-year-olds how to stand watch and how to iron their uniforms and shine their boots.
Wow.
And rolling that all the way forward to being a general instructor here at the training academy and participating in other trainings and youth mentorship. It's just something that you start early and you carry it forward through the rest of your life.
And the interesting thing is that, and Melissa knows this as well, is that your family is not it does not have the background in police work. Something completely different. You want to share that?
Right, yeah. So everybody in my family is in healthcare. I'm the only one to go into law enforcement, at least in my immediate family. Mm-hmm. And so it's very different that we have great dinner table conversations. I mean, you can imagine my mom's an OR nurse. She travels. And my brother's a surgical tech. My wife's an invasive cardiovascular technologist. So when we get together at the family dinner, it's like, oh yeah, let me tell you about this procedure. Or I saw this the other day and somebody
one upping each other at the table.
And I'm like, well, you know, I got in a vehicle pursuit.
And they're bored from that that's pretty exciting. So your family is in the medical field. Why Newport News, Virginia? I mean, you could have applied for law enforcement agencies all over the peninsula of the country. Why here? You're from Portsmouth.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm from Portsmouth, but I really more identify with Virginia Beach. Mm-hmm. But
okay.
Yeah, but why Newport News? Because this is where the good work needs to be done. Mm. Like this particular community, compared to the other places that I've seen in the region, needs good officers. It needs help, and it needs people who really care about the community and really put that effort in to help people.
Right.
When I'd work in other places, they'd like, oh man, Newport News. Yeah, I'm like, no, Newport News. Like, go up there, get some work done. Like, people need help up there, and if you're not in law enforcement for that reason to help people, then I don't know why you're here. Because at some point in everybody's academy career, it's like, well, why do you want to be a cop? Oh, I wanted to help people. Well, yeah, of course you want to help people. Now go do it.
Mm. Right, go forth and do the work.
Do the work. Yeah.
And have you been very satisfied? Have you been very satisfied with your career so far?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because you don't just do patrol work. And by the way, when I say just do, I don't mean it's unimportant. It is very valuable. Boots on the ground do the most important work.
Very
Let's just
diverse.
Qualify that.
Yes.
But you do other things within the department, and some of it is with children.
Yes.
Can you?
So I volunteer with the Newport News Public Schools RISE program, the RISE Level Up program at the elementary school level. And the kids who are involved in this program are kids that have been identified as kids who need a little bit extra help, mm-hmm. a little bit more guidance, some adult role models to kind of help them like learn conflict resolution or stress management, or just how to be able to control when they're like nervous and pent up. Like being able to talk to those kids and set the example for them and tell them from experience, like, hey, like, I get it. I've been nervous. I've been fidgety too. This is how I got through it. And just forming that connection early on, especially as a police officer, makes all the difference in the world. Because these kids are going to grow up. And when they grow up and they get into middle school and they get into high school, you know, they're going to feel some sort of way about law enforcement. They might see something on TV or the news. And they're like, well, not every police officer is like that. I remember, you know, Mr. Jeff or Officer Faree in my class. And that's how I want to be remembered with those kids. I want to form that relationship early. So that way later on when they need law enforcement or they need help in their community, they're willing to reach out to us.
Yeah. And what you do is valuable. I mean, you leave a lasting impression. I had the pleasure of seeing you at a school off of Main Street. I don't know if you remember, we were there together. Mm-hmm. And I saw you interact with the children before I actually approached you and said hi. I saw you interact with them. And I can tell there's a love for children there. I mean, there's a legitimate love. You really care deeply about those kids. And I could see it in your conversation and the laughs that you share with them. How important is taking time out of your day to go see these kids and spend time with them?
Oh, I come in, let's say I get off at 8 a.m. and I will come in at noon. I will come in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I will hop on a bus and ride all the way up to D.C. with these kids, with, you know, hundreds of them if I have to, just to make that connection between the Newport News Police Department and the youth in our community.
Well, you do the Fun Fridays too, don't you?
I do.
Do you have a favorite school you want to shout out?
Well, I have to shout out the Sedgefield Elementary. Oh, that's my adopted
Sedgefield
school.
Okay. Yes.
It's in Central Precinct, and that's where I started off with the RISE program, and I kind of rolled that forward into the Fun Fridays and then adopt a school.
Nice.
And do you have any success stories from any of these schools that you've been to?
Yeah, I have a lot of success stories with the kids that go on to middle school and reaching out to them and talking to them, you know, especially in their first week in middle school. We did have a little bit of a situation where some of these kids that were involved in the program started forming their little clique, and their clique got a name. And they got a list of names of people that they wanted to, you know, fight with or whatever. And so we reached out to some of the people with our department, Tommy Allen for one, and Sergeant Bogdanovich, and we sat down and we talked with these kids. And we're like, hey, so what is all this about? Like, what are you trying to do? What are you thinking about? And what these kids told us was essentially they viewed themselves in a positive light, that they were trying to stick up for each other, they didn't want to be bullied, they didn't, you know, all these different things. And so they were forming this little group, you know, just to kind of help each other along, but they were going about it in a very negative way. So it was kind of like getting in early and talking to these kids at the elementary school level,
right,
and seeing what direction that they're thinking about going and saying, hey, you know what, maybe that's not the best path. In fact, I know it's not the best path because we know where it leads. So how about instead of this, let's focus on more constructive things like helping people, you know, be that group of people in your school that, you know, will help somebody carry their books, or, you know, will help the janitor clean up a mess or something, instead of being like this tough guy, you know, macho kind of attitude that ultimately leads into very destructive behaviors.
Yeah. Early intervention is the way to go.
Absolutely.
Get out in front of it.
Yeah. What do you suppose he does in his off time, Melissa?
What off time? Sleep too, Captain. Yeah. He's a midnight shift.
Only during the day.
Only during the day. That's all. Only during the day.
Never
so family.
In court.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Because we're not even, because you work, right? So you're going to go to court.
Yeah. And you do have a family.
I do. So I have a 3-year-old daughter, Jenna, and my wife, Christina. My wife works during the day. I work during the night, but we have a few hours together when I come home where it's family time. I get to see my daughter. I get to hug her, put her in bed, read her bedtime stories, kiss her goodnight. And she goes, Daddy, you going to go catch the beefs?
Oh,
I'm like, yeah, I got to go catch the beefs. Yeah.
Gets you, doesn't it get you? Oh, yeah. It just gets me. I just got to meet your wife, and I must say, she's a lovely lady. That's an angel right there.
She's put up with me for over 17 years now. So, yeah, she she definitely is worth it.
A saint of a woman.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's awesome. And the reason I got to meet her, I don't know if you know this.
I do know.
Is because young Jeffrey over here wound up getting an award this year from the department.
Yeah.
So
I was
there.
She
was at the award ceremony.
First one ever.
I mean, wow.
Congratulations to you, by the way.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank
that
you
was
for,
huge.
For.
Oh, no. I had nothing to do with that. Yeah. You know, interestingly enough, it was just, hey, what do you know about this guy? Because we're thinking about this. And I said, couldn't get a better guy.
And what was the name of the award?
So it was the Chief George Austin Award for leadership, specifically community engagement.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, I received that award too, so we're both recipients. I feel a connection with you.
Wait a minute.
Melissa, did you?
I got it.
Yes, you
did.
Yes,
I loved it. Melissa led a kids too.
All three of us, how about that? Yeah, it was, what an honor, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, if you know anything about Chief Austin, that's that for me, that was huge.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of, you know, Chief Austin, a phenomenal leader, by the way, a very devoted man to the community. He was actually a volunteer. He retired from NNPD and then later became a volunteer. And I used to work with him. I was in Community Youth Outreach Division. He volunteered at the police museum, so I got to spend time with him. And then later on, I received the award. So you can imagine how humbling that was.
Oh, wow.
But a gem of a man.
Yeah.
Like just a phenomenal man. So do you ever have time to do any hobbies?
Occasionally I sneak out and do some scuba diving.
Scuba diving?
Yes. Okay. I'm an advanced open water diver. I train monthly with a team of other public safety professionals. It's called Marine One Solutions, based out of Chesapeake. It's run by two guys that I know from Norfolk PD's Marine Unit. So there's kind of a connection there because I'm with NNPD's Marine Unit as well. and we get together with firefighters, paramedics, their families and spouses, and we just go dive together. We train. We do some of the advanced techniques like search and rescue and diver recovery, you know, stress and rescue techniques. And then we apply those skills to dive trips. So I've got one coming up in September. We're going to go down to, I believe we're going to, it's not West Palm, but it's Key West. We're going to Key Largo. We're going to dive for a couple of days. I'm a night diver, so I'm going to get a night dive in.
A night diver.
Yeah. No.
And
absolutely not
this guy.
I need to see what I'm swimming amongst.
Yeah, I'm a pool guy. That's about the extent of it.
Yeah. It's absolutely a blast, and it's one of those hobbies that, like, when you're actually focused in on what you're doing and just focused on your breathing and taking in the sights and sounds around you and having in the back of your mind that running checklist of everything that I need to be thinking about while also enjoying and relaxing and knowing that you have like the backup emergency skills to be able to get you through like any kind of emergency, it's very, very peaceful. So you just, you know, breathe, relax, and go with the flow.
So therapeutic almost?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's really good. And it's hard to complain when you got a regulator stuff in your mouth.
Right. You're exactly right. And you know, and you also do hiking.
Yes.
As well. Have you taken some good hikes?
So my wife and I hiked the Virginia Triple Crown Trail for her 30th birthday a couple years ago.
Yeah, please don't do that.
Can we edit that? Can we edit that?
We're not finna put her on blast like that. She will forever be 25.
Yeah. And holding. But we hiked the Virginia Triple Crown Trail. We stayed on the trail for the entire weekend that we were out there. It really started off like before COVID, like 2 years before COVID, with the hiking the Stony Man Trail up in Shenandoah National Park. And we just loved like that feeling of like going places and seeing things that people don't normally get to see, and taking the time to take in all the sights and sounds while still being like prepared for anything that could happen.
Yeah.
You know, relying on your skills, you know, right. Your backwoods medicine, whatever it is that you need to know. But to get you through that hike and push through, even if the hill is like really, really steep and you're just gassed and you're tired, like being able to, you know, push through and see the end goal and taking the sights, yeah, is just absolutely
wonderful. You're testing yourself every time you do it. Yeah. What's the longest hike you've done?
Oh, I mean, we're really day hikers for the most part, but I'd say about a 12-mile hike.
In a day?
Yeah.
That's notable.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an effort right there.
What part of that is is it the sight at the end that's relaxing? I'm so lost.
It's when you crawl into your tent and you're
at the end of the night
and you're like, wow, I'm completely out of energy and I'm too tired to care about anything else. But man, I saw some cool stuff.
I saw some pretty sights.
Gratifying.
I get it.
Yeah. So Kelly, oh, and by the way, Matt, as you know,
yep,
Matt's out today.
We've got the angel in the sky with
us. We do. Absolutely. Angelic Kelly. Kelly, how are you, ma'am?
I'm good.
How are we doing on time, Kelly?
Well, you know, haven't been here for a while, so I'm not sure when we quit, but we're about 25 minutes in. So.
Sounds good. Do you think we're ready for rapid fire?
We're probably
ready
for rapid fire.
What are you thinking, Jeff?
I'm ready for it.
Okay.
Let me find some cover.
Will you do the honors first?
Don't I always?
Yes, you
do. Like, you have to ask. Okay, rapid fire question number one. Hot dog or hamburger?
Oh, both. A ham dogger.
He said, or.
Yeah, a ham dogger. You put the hot dog on the hamburger. Yeah, a little bit of pulled pork barbecue.
Okay, so we're just adding stuff to the question.
We're being creative, yeah. Definitely a hamburger for me.
I'm a hot dog kind of girl.
Oh, can't eat hot dog.
I am, especially when you get one from like the ballpark or the football game.
Okay, the ones that when you bite into them, they pop or snap or whatever the terminology is.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, all right.
Oh my goodness.
All right, here we go. Gas or electric car?
I see the value in both. I was actually looking at an electric car for a while, but I bought a gas truck. Dodge Ram.
But you may buy one in the future.
Maybe.
Open-minded enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. What are you thinking, Melissa?
As crazy as this sounds,
yeah,
I'm an F-150 girl. I gotta have my big truck. It's good.
Okay.
But you know, they have the e-trucks now.
They do.
I'm just not a fan.
I am. I love my gas car, my dream is to own an electric Fiat 500.
You and these Fiats, it wouldn't even.
I love the electric.
Doesn't
Fiat
even
500.
Have to be electric. Yeah, you just want a Fiat.
From what I understand, they still import them, not the gas, but the electric one.
Interesting.
So that dream might come true.
There you go.
That's right.
Okay. Ooh. Favorite childhood show.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
In the cartoon?
The cartoon and the movie, but the cartoon
movies.
Definitely.
Why the cartoon?
Oh, it's just something about Ghostbusters, you know, turn on those blue lights and going out to some place in the middle of the night to go, you know, find what's going on. And
right.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. But I think maybe deep down that might have been the reason why I kind of went with the whole policing thing.
It had to start somewhere.
How about for you, Melissa? TV show maybe?
Oh, gosh.
I don't.
I have one in mind, and
really?
I'm almost embarrassed to say it,
it's
but
okay.
I'm going to stand on business.
Okay, here we go.
I absolutely loved anything that had to do with Zach Morris on Saved by the Bell. It was guilty pleasure.
That's so nice.
But I loved Saved by the Bell. I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if it was a TV show, I definitely gravitate towards Charlie's Angels.
I'm just go ahead with the next.
Let's go.
We're
going to
let
question.
That one go. We're going to let
All
that
right.
one go.
where were we?
You threw yourself off. I just want to point that out.
Okay, shall I ask the fourth
go
one?
Go for it.
All right, here we go. Campfire or fireplace?
Oh, campfire.
Yeah.
Campfire all day, all night long.
Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Melissa, no?
Mm-mm.
Fireplace?
I don't camp. I may glamp.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I may glamp, depending on what the setup looks like, but I love my fireplace at home. I'm surrounded by all of the comforts, and there's nothing wrong with that.
I think that's wonderful. I just love to hear the crackling of the wood at the campfire.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not necessarily camping. I'm going over to my buddy's house who has one in his backyard, but we're still enjoying
bonfire out back. The campfire. I gotcha. But you camp and you do the I get it.
Question number five, Melissa. Would you ask that one?
Favorite place to scuba dive. You gotta have a favorite.
Ooh, that's a hard one, I bet.
His eyes went up and to the right.
Yeah.
This is gonna take him a minute.
Yeah. Well, I've been down to West Palm Beach before. I've been to Catalina Island.
Wow.
Where else? Lake Phoenix. I go there regularly for like checkout dives because I help out with the training for new divers. So Lake Phoenix is really cool. It's out in Rawlings, Virginia. It's a big stone quarry. And it's clear water. It's not salty.
Wow.
And yeah, you can dive there pretty much, well, I wouldn't say all year round because it gets cold.
Cold.
Right. It gets real cold, even in the early spring. But I'd say Lake Phoenix is one of the places that I visit most often.
Right. Interesting. It's a hobby for you in a way, but there's purpose to what you're doing because you work with team members who can be activated to go out and search for folks that potentially could have, you know, met an unfortunate end. So you enjoy it, but there's always that purpose to it. And I think that's the theme with Jeff.
It all goes back to, I want to help people. And as funny as that sounds, you know, we all have that moment where we're like, okay, why do I want to do this before we get started?
Right.
And we kind of feel like, well, that's kind of a silly answer, but it's really not. Because at the heart of what we do.
It's ingrained in us.
Yeah.
And interesting. I know that when, I don't know if you remember, but when we first met, but one of the very first things I thought about you was, you know, this is a very intelligent man who is very well spoken. And he has this purpose, this vision that he wants to help people. So I wasn't really surprised when you came on board, but I was definitely pleased to see you because once we met again, I was like, oh my goodness.
I know you.
We had that moment. Do you remember when we met at that apartment community and so forth and so on? So you really have, you're living your dream, I guess, in a way, yeah?
Mm-hmm. That's why I say living the dream.
Yeah.
And I mean that wholeheartedly. Like people think that that's like the sarcastic.
It's not.
No.
I'm just living the dream.
Yeah. What a pleasure it is for you. I mean, what a pleasure to spend time with you. You're lucky to work with him,
Melissa. I get him all the time. I do. You know, funny enough, one of our first conversations when I got to Central was about diving.
It was.
And I'll be honest, I had no idea what he was talking about, but I was so there to listen.
Yeah.
And it was just as interesting as it was today.
Yeah. Thanks for spending time with us, Jeff. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Melissa, we're in a ton of different places that we can be seen.
Listen, I have put my family on to where you can find it on your iPhone.
Yeah.
They all get it on the iPhone podcast button now. So that's pretty cool. But yes, everywhere you get your podcasts, you can see us. Like us on YouTube, catch us on Facebook, catch us on Instagram. We're out there.
Yeah. Appreciate you watching us, folks. Be safe. Cheers.
Unit